Well, praise the Lord. This is Apostle Curtis Lewis of Someone Cares Ministry. I want to welcome you to the broadcast today. I want to encourage you to get your Bible, get a notepad, and get a pen if you're able. Call a friend, call a neighbor, because we're going to cover a lot of scripture. And we're going to go take you now into a message already in progress entitled Divine Elements of Change. Let's go now into the Word of God.
And I believe this message will be for everybody, but I do want those that's new in the spirit and new in following God to pay attention, because there's some basic things in this lesson that's going to help you accomplish your walk in the spirit. God will take you where you are and work with you. And I want you to know that God has taught me how to walk in the spirit consistently and to live above reproach and to live without sinning. But I haven't always been here. Okay? And it took me a while to get here. I'm trusting that it won't take you that long. But it took me a while to get to that place where I could walk consistent with God. And so no matter where your life is, no matter where you are, no matter what's going on in your life, all you got to do is keep a zeal for God, quickly repent, and take sin serious. Don't play with sin. There's a lot of sin gospels in the body. Amen? And there's some bully pulpits that we're dealing with in love. But, and the reason God chose to deal with these bully pulpits is because they're trying to bully everybody. You want to send everybody to hell because we don't receive your message? I don't receive it. Amen. I call your name out. You can call mine. We don't receive your message. Amen. So we're going to have to come back to the scriptures and believe we can live exactly like the Bible say we can live. The scripture says in Galatians chapter 5, beginning at verse 16, read all the way down. And then my question is, why is this verse, these verses in the Bible, if you can't live the way the Bible say you can live? Why? Amen, amen. It says, this I say then, walk in the spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you walk in the spirit, you won't have issues with your flesh. That's what that Bible said. If you walk in the spirit, you won't have issues with sin. You won't struggle. Now, if that's not true, why is it in the Bible? And just because a lot of people haven't found it or found that path don't mean it don't exist. And it don't matter, you know, who you are. You know, some people go with personality. Well, look at his ministry. Well, who cares if his message is wrong? Amen. I'm sticking with the Bible. Glory to God. So you can walk in the spirit and, but my point is, I haven't always walked where I'm walking now, and I have to be conscious of that. One thing for sure, I would never, ever lower God's standard. You don't lower the standard to let people get on. No, you keep the standard where it belongs, and now you help the people where they are. And I just want to say to you that no matter where you are, you can attain it. It's attainable. So, but Satan would like to try to discourage you. You know, you make a mistake here or there, he'd like to try to discourage you. But look, I'm teaching this lesson today to encourage you. Look, do you know who you're dealing with? You're dealing with somebody that haven't always been here. And if I made it, you can make it. Yeah. Clap your hands and praise the Lord. You ought to be thankful you're sitting in a place that keep the standard high. And that's your hope. That's your goal. You know, but if you're in a place that got the standard low and nobody gonna make it, that's depressing. I don't want to be nowhere like that. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50. Then we're gonna look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. All right, verse 50, it says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Amen. It can't. We in this flesh and blood body cannot go into heaven. Cannot go into the heavenly realm. Now, we all are destined to go into the heavenly realm, but we can't go in like this. Okay? Cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And then it says in the latter part, neither doeth corruption inherit incorruption. Heaven, the presence of God, and God himself and everything in that realm is incorruptible. 2 Corinthians 3:18. See, they got doctrines now floating around the body that just say, well, you know, God understand, his grace covers me. That's a lie. Those are demons taught teaching those lessons. This grace revolution come from demons. This cross message, we preach the cross and we preach the blood, but we preaching it from a sin-free perspective. This cross and the blood that's being preached, especially in this town, come from hell. And the reason I say that, all you got to do is read your Bible. And the Bible don't back up a lot of that garbage that's being preached. And that's why I say come from hell. And I don't bite my tongue. Glory to God. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. It says, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. When we come together, the Bible said, when two or three come together in his name, he promised to be in the midst. When we come here, we can sense God's presence, his glory, his Spirit, sometime higher than other times. That's just the way he moves, you know, and that's the way he do things. But one thing for sure, he's always here. And when his Spirit shows up, there's a liberty in the Spirit. There's a freedom in the Spirit. And sometimes his anointing can just rest so strongly on the congregation that everybody know God's here. The reason God will do that is he's coming to comfort, to touch, and to change people's lives. And as we let him do that, he is changing us into the image that we have to be in when he calls us. Because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You cannot go to heaven with the way we are in the earth. So God got to change us. He knows our days. Bible said our days are numbered. He know how many days he got with you. Yeah. We don't know. He don't tell us. You don't know whether you're going to die today or tomorrow. So that's, you got to stay busy. You got to stay taking him serious every day. But he knows whether you got 40 more years, 20 more years, 10 more days, or one more day. He knows. And he, if you want to be with him, he got you on a program changing you into his image, because you cannot come into his presence as we are in the earth. So he's changing us into the same image. Hallelujah. Now, for a subject, I want to use these words, divine elements of change. Divine elements of change. I don't know about you, but I want God to change me day by day. I want to keep changing. I don't want to remain the same. A year from the day if I live, I want to be completely different that year than I am this year. I want him to change me. Glory to God. So I'm going to talk to you this morning about divine elements of change. And like I said, this will minister to people that are new in walking in the Spirit, people that are new in the message of sin-free, a sin-free gospel, sin not. And I'm telling you, most preachers and most churches don't believe this. They think you crazy if you believe it, but they need to put their Bible down. And I think some of y'all know, I've been telling them preachers, if you're going to keep twisting this book, and not going to preach it right. I don't care if doctor on your name, Dr. So-and-so, Reverend so-and-so. It don't matter where you went to college, where you went to school. I personally don't care who you, how many people you got in your church. Put that Bible down, set your butt down, preach it till you learn to preach it right. And if you ain't preaching it right, it's evident that you're not living it. The preacher, God is harder on the preacher than he is anybody. All you got to do is read Matthew 23. He was tough with leaders because he said, you shall receive the greater condemnation. I deal a lot with leaders. Now, when I'm dealing with common peoples or non-leaders, you're not going to see me being tough and hard because Jesus wasn't. Jesus would come and be where they are and help them get up. But those leaders, you look at, read the Bible. Oh, man, he called them snakes, dead men, tomb. Come on, somebody. He didn't play with them. Hallelujah. I'm still thinking about it. I don't know why one of them preachers didn't shoot me. I ran to this side up on the preachers, standing right in front of them, telling them, put that Bible down and sit down. You ain't going to preach. But see, what's happened, that's the anointing that was upon Jesus. Amen. And he don't have no respect to person because this Bible belonged to Jesus and all of them preach out of it. So God now is saying through the anointing, put it down, preacher, and shut up because you're not teaching the folks right. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Because once you hear the truth and you still preaching a lie, you've been disqualified. See, he'll have mercy on you when you don't know. Because there was time when I preached this book and didn't know. But now when God confront me and teach me the truth, now if I keep going my direction, then I'm judged. Divine elements of change. I want to talk to you about divine elements of change. Divine is that thing that comes from God. Untouched, untampered with, just his character, his virtue, his power. Who he, everything he is, divine, it comes from God. Okay, so I'm going to deal with some divine elements of change because if you want to change, I'm going to give you some instruction, simple instructions in this lesson that if you do it day by day, you will be changed. Only way you won't be changed is if you don't want to be changed. Only way you don't find the straight and narrow path and live a life above sin, without sin, is you don't want to. It's one thing to be in a place that don't teach it and don't believe it, but it's another thing to be in a place that teach it and preach it and live it. Amen. You have a chance of reaching it. Glory to God. Divine elements of change. Now, I want to say this, that God is the most beautiful creature. I don't want to say he's not a creature because nobody created him. But he's the most beautiful being that anybody could ever lay eyes on. You can't even come up with a definition that would describe beauty until you see God. It don't matter what you've ever seen that you thought was beautiful. You still don't know what beauty is until you see him. He is pure, absolute holy. Nothing corrupt in him. Hallelujah. And he want to meet with you. Hallelujah. He want to call you into his presence. Now, even in the natural, if we're going to meet dignitaries and people that have high authority, we'll get on our best suits, you know, we'll dress up, we'll get our, we on our P's and Q's. Well, there ain't nobody higher than him. There ain't nobody like this. I like that song. I've searched the whole world and I can't find nobody. You won't. He's beautiful. He's holy. He's pure. And the Bible said only the pure in heart don't see it. And so that's why he got to deal with all the impurities in us. Because he is excited about you coming to see him. Just, he's far more excited than you are. Some of us excited, you don't know what excitement is. He is excited by the fact of finally introducing himself to you. Glory to God. And he got all time in his hand. And he's just waiting for that day. But before that day, he's got to change you into his image. Because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Some of us cannot go into his presence with some things that we have. So he's going to work with you if you let him. And then in this message here, I'm going to show you how to cooperate with him. Amen. Because it's a partnership. Okay. Divine elements of change. Now, number one, the first divine element of change is to call on the name of the Lord. Now, most of us know this. Now, most of us quote this all the time. And let me share this with you. I'm going to tell you something. Salvation need to be retaught to the entire body of Christ all over again, because almost everybody that I know don't really understand the plan of salvation. And I thought I understood it for a long time, but when the Father began to educate me, I realized that most of the stuff that I had learned about salvation was incomplete. Now, the first element of change is he'll bring you to a place to where you call on the name of the Lord. He'll work with you. It's amazing how God will look into a person's heart and he'll see that person want to serve me. You could be messed up. You could be in all kinds of sin, but he'll look at your heart. People will look at your life, but he'll look into your heart. And he'll see how desperate you are and see that you really want to serve him. And so what God will do is he'll start letting circumstances and situations and relationship happen to your life. And a lot of these circumstances and situation that's happened to you and sin, a lot of the relationships that you've been in and had wasn't good. But he got a scripture over there in Romans 8:28 said, I'm going to work all things together for your good. Because he looked in your heart and he see, now that person respect me. That person, I want to meet them, and I see where they want to meet me. So I'm going to let these different things work together and then bring you to a place of brokenness where you call out to me. So all things that was bad wasn't really bad. I was stabbed with an ice pick. How many of y'all know naturally that's bad? But it turned out for my good. He said, if the ice pick would get him to me, it's worth it. Not that he really wanted me to be stabbed with an ice pick, but if that's what it take. So, the first element of change is he got to bring you to a place where you're desperate for him and you call out to him and, God, I can't live my life without you. God, help me. Lord, save me. And most of us have come to a place in our life where we did get saved, where we did call out to God. And if you're not there, then God's working to bring you there. So it says, whosoever, anybody, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Watch this.
Shall be saved.
Say that again.
Shall be saved.
We think salvation is saved right now. In a sense, that's true. In a sense. But according to the Bible, it is not the whole truth. Because salvation is the beginning. Born again is the beginning. That's your entry. When you find out salvation is a life, a walk, and what it is, I got to change you from this earthy to the heavenly, because flesh and blood cannot come in his presence and meet him. So salvation is a lifelong changing. So he shall be saved. Shall be saved. I think we better relook at salvation. Salvation is shall be saved. You want to be saved? Here's how you do it. Call on the name of Jesus and you shall be saved. Now, we are saved right now by faith, and we are born again, and you did get saved. You got God. But when we say I got saved, let's understand salvation now. Yeah. Salvation is saved to be saved. Yeah. Now, that's the truth. Now, most people don't preach it like that, but they preach in a half gospel. They preach in a half Bible. And this one preacher that got up before me, he said, but for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. You don't do nothing, you just believe. And when I got up, I said, but the Bible said, Philippians 2 verse 12, after you're saved, now work it out. See, I heard a preacher, Lauren Lawson. He done got a hold to the teaching too. Oh yeah, they hearing it. Last week he was up preaching and he got mad. You don't have to work it out. I'm serious. The man was mad in the message. You don't have to work it out. Well, go read Philippians 2:12. What about Matthew 5:16? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good. See, they preach a gospel according to salvation that you do nothing. Just believe. No works. Wait a minute. You better read that Bible and separate works of the law from works of obedience. They're not teaching it right. And when God brings somebody on the scene, taking scripture and making them all match, their argument is with the scripture now. So tell the scripture, you ain't got to do that. Tell the scripture that. Y'all be surprised how folks going nuts now. They're hearing stuff. We sent Creflo Dollar a book, God's plan, true plan of salvation according to the scriptures. And I taught in that book, you're a soul, you have a spirit. Creflo got up last week as if he heard, read the book. You're not a soul. I ain't never heard him preach that. He preached, I'm a spirit, I have a soul, I live in a body. I ain't never heard that man long as I've been hearing him. And he preached mad all the way through the sermon. I felt like he going to lose it if he keep preaching. You're not a soul. Well, go to Genesis 2 verse 7, 1 Corinthians 15 verse 45. Bible said he breathed in his nostrils the breath of life and man became a living soul. Show me in the Bible where God changed his mind about the man as a soul. Then Paul, 1 Corinthians 15, 45 said, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. In the old and the new, all over the Bible. Now, how you, preacher, going to tell me man is not a soul? So they're hearing something. They're getting the news. One way or the other. Maybe somebody told them. But I know I ain't never heard him get up and say, you're not a soul. I mean, he was stomping. They got to argue with these scriptures. So we need to redefine what salvation is. You are born again. You need to understand what born again is. The Bible said you shall. Y'all hear me? The Bible said you shall. You know why it says you shall? Because the salvation is now and then. It's not just now. Okay, so that's the first element of change. A person got the call on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Spirit of God will enter your life. And according to Romans 8 and verse 9, if any man have not the Spirit, you are none of his. That's why I tell everybody, if you want to be changed, ask God to fill you with his Spirit. Ask him to fill you with his Spirit. Now, I was filled with the Spirit March the 4th, 1980. I really didn't speak in tongues for 2 years. Now, I'm not saying that's everybody's experience, and I do believe in speaking in tongues, of being filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. But I'm just being honest with you. I was filled with the Spirit and prophesied. Because the Bible said they spoke in tongues and prophesied. That's a part of it we haven't taught. And I'm not saying that the tongues is not an initial sign. I'm just simply saying you can't put God in no box. Because I know I got saved March the 4th. I was filled with God's Spirit. My life would change. And I didn't speak in tongues for 2 years later. Amen. So you buy a pair of shoes, the tongues come with it. The tongues are not the shoes. You can cut the tongue, I just still have a pair of shoes. And I'm not saying you shouldn't pray and speak in an unknown tongue. You should. Bible said, forbid not to speak with tongues. You shouldn't be forbidding it or resisting it or say, that ain't for me. If you say that, you don't know the Bible. And it's not just a gift whereby you speak and somebody need an interpretation. That's two different things. I didn't mean to get over on that. But you do need God to fill you with the Holy Spirit. He'll fill you, and when His Spirit comes to live in you, that's what causes you to be saved and be born again. Okay? So that's the first element of change. Now, second element of change. The second divine element of change is the household of faith. Let me try to run through this, and I'm going to focus on number three, because number three is where I'm going. But I touched on this before here, but let me touch on it again. 1 Timothy 3 and 15, divine elements of change. God want to meet with you. God's got some divine elements in place to get you ready to have a meeting with him, and he wants you to live with him forever. But flesh and blood cannot inherit. You cannot inherit and live in his presence forever the way we are. So he got some elements in place. And if you cooperate with him, because when I get to number three, you're going to see where your cooperation come in at. Because it's not going to be, boom, we're going to sprinkle some dust on you and it just happened. This salvation message in the church today is a lazy salvation. Oh, I got it free. It's by grace through faith. It's free. Now you want a free glide all the way into heaven and do nothing. You don't teach your kids that way. How in the world God going to give you a free gift and now says, since you didn't do nothing to get it, don't worry about doing nothing. Just live any kind of way. You're going to get there. That ain't in the Bible. That's a joke gospel. God saved you, but he saved you and gave you a responsibility to live out that salvation. Amen. That's your responsibility. Amen. There's too many scriptures in the Bible that says, seeing you have purified your soul. Yeah. See, which means you got to see to it. Abstain from all evil. That means you got to do something. Yeah. Bible said, let us lay aside every sin and the weight. That ain't the Holy Spirit laying aside some. That ain't demons laying aside. That you got some responsibility in this. How do those grace preachers explain all of that? You lay aside every sin. And it said every sin and weight. Why you can't stop sinning, preachers? When the Bible said lay it aside. When the Bible said lay aside every sin and every weight. If that word say that, that means you can lay it aside. I'm fussing at these preachers. I'm going to stay fussing at them in love. I'm going to make them all mad. I don't want them to be invited to your church either. I ain't going to bite my tongue. Okay. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15. Divine elements of change. Watch this. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. Notice that we watch behavior here. Ain't nothing coming in here and getting out of order. I'm sorry. If we keep three members, those three members going to do it right. It's worth doing it right than letting everything go on in the church. Glory to God. Behavior is important. And people ought to be thankful because we ain't going to let nobody come in and cut up and mistreat you or do you wrong. Mm-mm. If it get to me, I'm going to find out what's going on. People here know how to get it together before it get to me. But if it get to me and I find somebody been done wrong and it's not corrected, I'm going look, we going to this book because people going to be treated right. Yeah. Don't y'all appreciate that? So behavior, that you may know how to behave yourself in the house of God. Now watch this. The house of God, which is the church, the ecclesia, it's the church of the living God. This is a living God we're dealing with.
Well, praise the Lord. We're just about out of time, so we're going to have to come to a close. But I want to give you our website that you can go to at any time you like for more free teaching. The website is www.someonecaresministry.org. That's www.someonecaresministry.org. And you'll find that there's never a charge on our teaching. If you want to call us, you can call us at 225-272-6647. That's 225-272-6647. This is Apostle Curtis Lewis saying we love you. We thank God for you. And remember, someone cares for you, and his name is Jesus.